Proverbs 16 tonight. I'm just kind of trying to wrap up this thing about being committed. It has taken a bit longer than I had anticipated, just because thankfully, I really like how our Wednesday services are just an uplifting time, time of singing, time of prayer. That's been increased. And then, of course, the missionary report on Wednesday nights. A lot of times that takes about 45 minutes to accomplish all of that. And so there's not a whole lot of time left for preaching unless I steal some time. But I guess I've gotten good at that, unfortunately. But I do want us to get something as far as being fed and from the Word of God, along with all those other important things. Here's why. Wednesday night is just kind of that halfway, right? It's that through the week, you're bogged down with life, with work, etc. And I feel like we need all those charging elements there along with the preaching on the Wednesday night service. So I really like how that's gone this year, and I appreciate your participation in it. So let's stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. Just a few verses here in Proverbs 16, and just trying to wrap up this idea of being committed and having a commitment to our God. Listen to what Solomon says. He says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with the righteous than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Now, if you remember last week, we talked about being committed. Part of it, there were several weeks, I guess, before. Of being committed to the Bible, right? Being committed to the Word of God. And I wanted to read a few verses to you. Verses like this. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Right? The Word of God and being committed to the Word of God is being committed to God, right? Because God, I've told you before, God and His Word are inseparable. God cannot not keep His Word. If He does, then He's not God, right? I mean, So he has to, and it has to be. We know in Psalm 37, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." You understand that God wants us to walk according to his word, according to his path, according to his ways. And we understand that's how God wants it, but we need to be committed to it. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." So with those things in mind, and just trying to link these last several messages together, and kind of put a bow on everything, I believe that this passage in Proverbs 16 helps us to understand the true value of commitment and what it really means to be completely committed to our commitment to God and to His Word and to all these other areas and things that we've talked about over these last several months. If you look at what Solomon says in verse 1, he says, "The preparations of the heart in man. Folks, why do we have to prepare our heart? We talked about this on Sunday, right? The thing of heart prayer. Because it's desperately wicked. In its natural state, it's bent toward hell. So we've got to prepare our heart. And if you will, the answer of the tongue, he says, is from the Lord. So we've got to understand that we need to be controlled by God. We've got to be committed to God. We've got to be controlled by God. Our heart has to be in tune with Him. And the only way it's going to happen is if we prepare, if we're committed to Him. Because guess what? If we're not committed to Him, who are we going to be committed to by default? Us. Okay? That's our default, right? And we got to get rid of that default. We've got to be reprogrammed. And so we've got to understand that that's how it is. If you look at verse 2, he explains and he says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. So he says, look, you've got to prepare your heart. You've got, and the preparations and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And he says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And then he says, commit thy works unto the Lord. So as we kind of wrap this up, just a practical application is what David says in Psalm 37, to commit thy way unto the Lord. And Solomon says, commit thy works unto the Lord. If we'll commit our way and works unto the Lord, we'll be successful. We'll be successful in God's eyes if we'll do those things. We've talked about how important it is to follow after these things. But it's more than just following after. It's actually being these things. This commitment is a life worth living. And to commit our way unto the Lord and to commit our works unto the Lord, that is the way. And it's the good way. It's the safe path. It's the life of blessings. It's the life success. It's the life of satisfaction. That's how the Christian life is if we'll do it His way and not our way. Walk in the flesh, die. Walk in the Spirit, live. It's that simple. But it's about being committed to it. In Jeremiah 16, we've talked about this for several months prior, a long time ago, about the old paths. Remember that? And we talked about this verse, how he says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. That was the admonition, right? To find that good path. To find that good way. To, if you will, live those good works. Do those good things. Live the way God wants us to live. Because, by the way, God is good. Right? And so everything about the good path is going to be about God. It's going to be, there's going to be that commitment, that attachment. It's all going to be there. Because guess what? Back to what Solomon said in the first and the second verse, we have our own ideas about what's clean and right and pure and good. But they're not necessarily, because that's how man views it. But how God sees something is completely different, right? My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He says, hey, we're not on the same level. So if we're going to get to that good way and that good path and those good works, folks, listen, I might count something that I do good, but that doesn't necessarily mean that God counts it as good. God has His own definitions, and by the way, He's allowed to. Because He's God. You know, He's the one that gets to define things. So we've got to understand, we've got to ask Him for those old paths. We've got to ask Him, and where is this good way, God? And then He says, and walk therein. Okay, so you know the good ways and the good works, and you know the good path, but we don't do it and we don't walk in it. That's not being committed. Because when we know and we see something is right and true, by the way, I commend all of you You're here on a Wednesday night. That's a great thing. You're here in an old-fashioned Bible preaching, Bible teaching Baptist church. That's a good thing. Because you've seen a good way, you've seen a good thing, and you decided to do it. And that's right. I didn't grow up in this kind of church. But as soon as I found out about this kind of church, I stuck. And many of you are like that too. And I love that about you, and I love that about this church. I don't know if I love this. You're unfortunately a little bit like me. I don't think that's good, but maybe if that little bit is all about our Savior, then we can all rejoice in that. Okay, that's a good thing. But I don't want something else. I'm not looking for something new. I want those old paths. I want this good way. I want to be committed to it. I don't want to go astray. Paul told Timothy, this charge, he said, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. He said, Timothy, I'm glad that you're warring a good warfare. You are doing a good job of holding on, but some have not. And even names them by name, Hymenaeus and Alexander. And he says, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That's pretty rough. I don't want to be delivered unto Satan. No, thank you. He's already going to cause enough trouble the way it is, right? I don't need to help him out in that. But you understand that we don't want to become shipwreck. Paul said one of his fears was that when he had preached to others that he himself should be a castaway. He didn't want to live that kind of life. And if we'll stay committed to the good way and committed to good works, we don't have to worry about that. Because that's where our focus is. By the way, folks, let me just say something about this. It is the best life you can choose to live for God. You know, many people today are really down on good, godly, Christian living. And they try to say churches like ours are calling that, you know, adding it to salvation. And we're not, by the way. You know, they use the word legalist, right? And legalist. If they were even a tiny bit smart, they would look it up in the definition in the dictionary and understand that term means to add to salvation. And we're the ones that are not doing that. There are others that are doing that. But they say because we toe the line, if you will, because we have good standards of living, about morality and about separation and about, dress and all those kinds of things that we hold up high, by the way, those are good things. That's the good way. Those are good works. That's a good path. It's the right way to live. But they say because we're committed to that we're wrong. That's not what God's given us liberty. No, God has never given anyone the right to live however they want to. That comes with a price. And by the way, those things will be judged. He says, no, commit your way unto the Lord. By the way, following Jesus is not a bad thing. It's not. It's not a drudgery. You know, for me to dress a certain way and to not have certain things in my life, it's not a bad thing. And you know what? I'm tired of our kids growing up loathing the honeycomb. Oh, I wish I could do this. Oh, I wish I could do that. Hey, folks, can I just tell you something? There are songs that I wish I never would have heard. There are movies that I wish I never would have watched. There are activities that I wish I never would have known about and participated in. Kids, are you listening to me? Every adult in here, when I said those things, shook their heads up and down. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to go through those things. You don't have to listen to that. You don't have to experience those things. You don't have to see those things. What are we doing, folks? And then kids say, well, but I want to experience that and see that. And no, you don't. No, you don't, because every from now, after you experience that or see that, every time you walk into Walmart and the music's playing on there, you're going to sing the words because you know them. You say, how do you know? Because that's what happens to me. It's terrible. But we've got to learn to be committed. I love how Timothy's life was. Paul admonished him. He told him that from a child he knew the scriptures. From a child he was brought up in these things. And kids, you have that opportunity. But you know what? You're going to have to stay committed to the Lord and seek those good ways. Seek that good path. Seek those good works and then do them. Walk in the path, walk in those ways, do the good works. Over in 1 Peter, Peter wrote, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Let me just say something as we close this out. Do you understand that this thing of commitment is not a one-way street? It's not a one-way street. We need to pursue commitment, right? Being committed to him. And if we'll be committed to him, guess what's reciprocated, folks? His commitment to us. Did you see what Peter said? He said, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto what kind of creator? A faithful creator. Folks, he's faithful. He's not going to let your commitment go unnoticed or uncared for. He's going to support you in that commitment. And God is, folks, God is committed to us. He loves us. By the way, what other being has provided salvation for you? What other being has provided the benefits of life and the blessings of life for you? None. What other being has given you promises that are never broken? Only God. Only God has given us all these things. He is trustworthy because he's committed to us. He's our heavenly Father. We are his children. And when we show this commitment to him in our way, in our paths, in our good works, he blesses us with blessings. When we falter in our commitment, he's faithful to chasten us, to help bring us in line to our commitment to him. See, he's good like that. God does that for us because not only are we committed and need to be committed, but he's committed to us. He's our God. Remember what Solomon prayed, right? If my people, right, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, right? He said, then. That was God's answer to Solomon's prayer, because Solomon said, God, if we go away from you and we come back, hear us, rescue us, right? And he said, I will. I will. He said, then I'll hear from heaven, right? And I'll heal their land. Jesus told us to be the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they may see your good. Let your light so shine. I missed part of it, sorry. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So this thing about commitment is a two-way street. We have been quickened. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And you understand that that's our old life. But now we're a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I was paraphrasing there from Ephesians 2. As he goes through, he explains that God was the one who loved us. God was the one that offered us salvation. And we know verses 8 and 9 about our faith and God's grace. But do you understand that in verse 10 he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. By the way, as I'm proposing tonight, this thing of the good path, the good way, and the good works, they're all the same thing. They're all linked together. Because that's the path that God's on. Because God is good. And if God is good and those things are the good way and the good path and the good works, then that's what we should do. Jesus said, right, I must work the works of him that sent me. Guess what kind of works those are? Good works. And that's the life that we need to be committed to live. Paul told Timothy to continue in these things. And in Titus, Paul told Titus to show himself a pattern of good works. He was supposed to be, he was the preacher. He was supposed to be the pattern of good works to all the people. Can I tell you something? If Christians don't live like Christians should live, what kind of pattern is the world going to have? None. And I'm not preaching lifestyle evangelism, but you know what? We need to live like Christians and then tell them about Jesus. Because guess what? I'll give you a quick illustration. There was a guy that was at his workplace, and he came in and he got to know the people, and you know, as far as he could tell, there weren't any other Christians there in his workplace. And he's just going along, you know, and he's kind of getting an idea of what he can do, what he can't do, etc. You know, because sometimes workplaces are a little bit dicey concerning sharing your faith, etc. So at the lunch time, you know, he starts talking to a guy, and he gets a good conversation going, and he gets a chance to lead this guy to Christ. Great opportunity. Well, other people start to hear about it, and this other guy who is really not a good guy at all came up to him and said, "Well, I'm sure glad to have another Christian around here." It's like, what, were you some incognito Christian, you know, undercover Christian? You know, you're so glad that this guy shared the gospel, but you won't even live for Christ for anything. It's just terrible. But that's what Christians just want to live how they want to live and not be committed to the good way. Not be committed to the good works. We do need to show ourselves a pattern. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them and well in all things. Not answering again, not purloining, but showing good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So as we close out this thing of commitment tonight, I want you to think of what Solomon said. That we need to commit our works unto the Lord. And what his father David said. That we need to commit our way unto the Lord. If we'll do those two things, we'll show and prove, if you will, that we're committed to him in all things.